this party started.
This is Ghetto.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
It's on a website.
This is FNA.
Man, get out my way and watch out as I come.
I am a god, now what?
Why don't you get out of that jumpsuit and let me smack that fat ass?
That's a scary crew.
As far as the product goes,
voice of a new generation, man. You guys are the young guys.
Are really at the top of their games.
The two of them had something in common.
We bring you Radio Ecstasy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Broadcasting live from the studios of AM 570.
FNA.
Let it happen.
This is the FNA Podcast.
Friday edition of the FNA Podcast. It is Kevin Figures, Adam Ausland with you as always.
On a Friday.
That's my pleasure.
R.I.P. John Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
Pops. Guy who gets chased by dog, which bites his ass and falls in dog ass.
Catch that dog and choke him. Show that dog what's up.
That's my dog.
Thank you guys for joining us on the show today. Multiple ways to get in touch with us. You can hit us up on Twitter at FNA Show, also Instagram at FNA Show, and Facebook.com/FNA Show. I am on Twitter at KFig1, Adam at Follow Adam A.
At FNA Show. And FNApodcast.com, mm-hmm. Other places you can go and listen and find more FNA podcast content. Coming up later in the show, because it's our late show in the week, no TK, but we do have rap news.
We do. Versus battle. Another potential versus battle. And this is, we ain't joking here, all right? This isn't little Pimp Juice versus... little stocking cap here.
This ain't Pat O'Brien versus whoever wanted to find him at.
I'm at Sepulveda and Ventura. Come down any day.
Random Twitter people lining up to fight him.
Potentially the realest of the real going at it one-on-one in versus.
Remember when they push and shove, it's only love.
It's not Ice Cube.
Okay.
But Cube could be thrown in the mix with some of these as well. So
they're on his level.
Yeah, I would say so.
So heavy hitters.
They're definitely heavy hitters. Potentially. Not going to happen, but potentially a big-time versus battle. So we'll discuss that coming up on the back end of the show.
After we hype it, it's going
to
happen.
In rap news, we also have voicemails to get to at 949-478-1197.
I heard we got a few today.
We do.
Is that right?
You got multiple. Raked by the callers.
Well, we'll find out.
You got raked by the callers.
We have multiple phone calls to get to at the end of the show. But coming up first, we mentioned it earlier in the week, Trevor Bauer with the Dodgers was officially introduced yesterday.
We've been delivering lately. We talked about Barry McConkiner. Yeah. We got Barry McConkiner on.
Right.
We follow through with things, just like today.
Exactly. And so we're going to talk a little Trevor Bauer with a special guest, one of our favorites when it comes to talking about the Dodgers. Let's get to it, Adam.
Phone's ringing, dude.
Thank you, Donnie.
Well, with opening day less than 2 months away and the Dodgers picking up another Cy Young pitcher that fans want to see play, it's time to bring on a guest with a baseball analysis so good you'd pay, but this man is a giver at True Blue LA and SB Nation every day, so enough with the dumb rhyme.
You,
just
Dr.
take
Seuss?
The time. Follow him at Eric Steven on Twitter. Eric, how are you? Thanks for coming back on the FNA Podcast. What's wrong with me?
Always a pleasure, and as someone who went to college at UC San Diego, I spend a lot of time in the Ted Geisel Library, named after Dr. Seuss.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Any green eggs and ham for breakfast?
Exactly. I wish. It actually sounds pretty good this morning.
Right?
Eric, so Trevor Bauer had his press conference, remote press conference yesterday, his introductory press conference with the Dodgers. Was he as good as he seemed in 30% of a normal regular season last year where he won the Cy Young? Because I know I heard some things like he dominated weaker competition, other teams got to him, and he's never put up numbers like that before in a 162-game season.
Yeah, so his career is super weird, just on the field, too. Last year he was great. 2018, very good. Those are the only two seasons in his seven full seasons he's had an ERA under four. It's just been weird. He's a big spin rate guy now. He increased his spin rate very well. His four seam fastball was basically like a average to below average pitch. For the first 7 years of his career or whatever. Last year it was the best fastball in baseball by you know, run value, batted ball data, that kind of stuff. So he got really good. Now, you know, I just his sort of he's a smart guy, very analytic, sort of into, you know, figuring out new pitches and how to do things. I'm not that concerned with that aspect of it. I know there's a lot of talk about, like, the, you know, putting the like pine tar or goop or whatever that stuff is. And I know, like, the Angels former clubhouse manager in the lawsuit mentioned, like, Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander. That's like a thing that a lot of pitchers use. So it's not, I'm not saying like Bauer is cheating or something like that. And it's one of those things that it's just like the dirty secret in baseball. Everyone's sort of doing that kind of stuff. So I don't think that's a big deal, but just generally, I think the Dodgers are betting on that. Like the changes that he made late 2019 into 2020 are going to hold. And then he's going to be something like he was, maybe not, you know, 173 ERA or whatever, but, like, you know, a very good starter. The one thing he has been is durable. Like, even in the years where his performance has sort of fluctuated, he's never really had an arm injury. He pitches deep into games. He's, like, sixth in innings the last 5 years. Just takes the ball all the time. And I think given you're going from a 60-game season – to 162, you don't have, like, hardly anyone pitched last year. Nobody got to 100 innings across baseball. So you're going to ask everyone to ramp up to go to a full season. It's going to be tough. I think you need a lot of pitchers. Not saying Bauer's a depth guy, but, like, just having him able to soak up innings, you know, just about as good as anybody is going to help, like, the rest of the staff.
Eric Steven joining us here on the FNA podcast. You know, he had some issues when he was in Cleveland. Mickey Callaway, now the disgraced pitching coach for the Angels, still under contract, I believe, with the Angels at the moment. But they butted heads a little bit because Trevor Bauer, more analytically driven, more so than many other players, and Callaway kind of an old school guy. Do you think this could be sort of a match made in heaven, considering how analytically driven the Dodgers are when it comes to pitch metrics and all of that? They've certainly rejuvenated some veteran pitchers' careers in the past. Is it possible that them joining their, you know, forces together, Bauer can be even better than he was last season, if that's even possible?
Yeah, better would be tough. Like, you know, it would be,
I mean,
amazing.
He's dominant, yeah.
But like, I think, yeah, it is it's a really good match. He mentioned, I think, what, Rob Hill, a former Driveline guy who works for the Dodgers now. Robert Van Skoyak, their hitting coach, he's known for a long time. He's very familiar with a lot of the people in the organization. He mentioned also talking to, you know, some players as well. So I think the fit is very, very good. And I think he will sort of thrive in that environment. And, like, they'll be able to, like, get the best out of him. And I'm sure he'll have ideas, and it'll be a nice little collab. And I think from that aspect, I think they'll be able to sort of help him, like, maximize whatever he's going to do.
It's Eric Steven with us here on the FNA podcast. Eric, can you talk more about that goop, whatever they're using to scuff up the ball, and how Trevor Bauer was implicated in that?
So I'm terrible at, like, figuring out, like, exactly what the science of it or whatever, but just generally, I think Bauer at times, a few years ago, he was very outspoken about the Astros were doing things, like, to help their pitchers and increase their spin rate. And then he went out, I can't remember if this was 2018 or 2019, but he was very deliberate in, like, showing essentially in a start, like, how to do this. And it's just one of those things, like, he was being real obvious about it. But it's one of those things, like, you know, I think most pitchers are subtle about it, and I think generally he was. So, like, yeah, I don't know. It helps you. It like, betters your grip on the ball. I don't know exactly what it does. It just gives you a little bit better control, a little more movement, and it makes the fastball a little more explosive. So, you know, if you're throwing, like, you know, 95, it may with some late action or something, it seems like 98 or whatever, or, you know, something like that. So I think that's where the added benefit comes in.
Andrew Friedman and Trevor Bauer were peppered with questions about his social media activity over the years and whether or not it's an issue. Trevor said that he's changed and he's not as aggressive as he used to be, or maybe he's spoken to people and is more sensitive. Andrew Friedman says they've vetted him fully and that it's not going to be an issue. From the outside looking in, because I felt they said what they probably needed to say, do you believe that it won't be an issue? Do you believe that him walking into maybe a strong clubhouse will curb some of his actions on social media a little bit?
I don't think so. Like, I don't see it as like him, whatever clubhouse he's in, sort of affecting that. Like, he is who he is, I think, at this point. You know, he that's his sort of online persona. He'll go at people. And then, but, you know, what the issue is there's been incidents where, you know, he's had interactions going back and forth, you know, bordering on harassment of women. He went at a college student in 2019. I forgot how many, like, consecutive tweets he sent at her. She was bombarded by fans. There was a reporter last year. It was a rather flippant exchange, but then he basically told his followers to, like, you know, he didn't say it directly, but it was like, here, let me show you some new followers. And then all of his followers kind of went after her, you know, making her life hell for a couple months. And, like, you know, that's one of those where Bauer can put his hands up and say, well, I didn't do it, but the implication was pretty clear. He's tweeted stuff, you know, like racist birther stuff. just, you know, it's bad. Like, he had an opportunity yesterday to, like, actually, I don't know if apologize is the right word, maybe, or just be definitive about it. But he was very, like, vague, like, this isn't the forum to discuss this. All, you know, this. He was very wishy-washy, in my opinion, yesterday. So I don't know, like, I get why he or, like, the Dodgers wouldn't want that to be the subject yesterday, that it's day one of their, like, Cy Young winner they're bringing in as a free agent. It's, like, supposed to be the easiest PR win ever, and, like, he has to answer questions for essentially, but it's from his behavior, so, like, it's completely valid. And the fact that he couldn't, you know, he was just being very evasive, I that doesn't really suggest to me that he's really going to change.
It's Eric Steven with us here on the FNA podcast. Eric, to that point, do you just find it interesting how fans will let things go when it's not their guy? They'll call him a douche, but when he's our douche, it's fine. Or they'll say never Trevor, and then when he comes to the Dodgers, they'll totally wipe the slate clean. Do you find that hypocrisy interesting, especially online? I know you see it all the time on social media.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what the Dodgers are betting on, too, is that he's going to be good enough to, like, put up with whatever that might happen. I think it is, there is a lot of this, like, online factor, too. I would say offline, a more overwhelming majority are less concerned about all that other stuff and are just like, oh, Dodgers just got the Cy Young winner. So I think if, as long as he performs, I think it's just going to be generally fine. Like, I think it really is going to depend how he does on the field. But, like, if he's not performing and then, like, has an outburst or something online, I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying that's where the problems might come in.
So how do you see the rotation stacking up? I mean, I believe most people feel that Trevor Bauer, from the outside, who aren't really baseball experts, they signed him to all this money. He was the hottest name on the free agent market. That he's an ace shutdown type of starter. We discussed earlier, maybe not quite so. Maybe last year was a bit of an anomaly, or maybe he's turning the corner. But at this point in time, one, I guess, are the Dodgers, do they have the best rotation in baseball? And two, how do you think their rotation steps up with Bauer now in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, it looks really good. Like it was looking pretty good. Like, just generally going into the season, they were good last year. They're getting David Price back. So, you know, now it's going to be even better. Like, I thought it's sort of funny. Like, Walker Buehler avoided salary arbitration the other day with a 2-year deal. Now, he's not a free agent, obviously. He just started going through the arbitration process, and those players barely get paid. So he's going to earn $8 million guaranteed over the next 2 years, where Bauer, if he doesn't opt out after this season, will earn $85 million over the next 2 years. But, like, I know who I would start in game one of a playoff series, and it's not Bauer. It's just funny how baseball sort of works out that way sometimes. But that's like, a good problem for the Dodgers to have, just from a baseball standpoint. If Bauer is, like, your third starter, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be, like, a game three starter. It might just depend on who's healthy that day or whatever. But you essentially have, Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler at the top, and then Price. And then I would imagine Urias is there for now. And then at some point, Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, who were really good last year, maybe they pitch a little in the bullpen. Maybe they're in AAA for part of the year. But, like, that's amazing depth. So I'm really looking forward to it. The weird thing about this year is, like, nobody really knows how everything's going to, like, play out because, you know, last year, you know, like I said, nobody really pitched a lot. So are you going to be – are these, like, a full season pitcher? Are they going to go back to throwing, like, 175 innings or something, or 150? Like, I think that's going to be a tough ask for some. So I think, like, just the fact that the Dodgers have all these options and can sort of mix and match. Like, we've seen over the years, even in a normal year, like, they'll use, like, you know, between eight to ten starters, like, and not just spot starters, like, 8 to 10 starters they'll actually use, like, over 5 starts. So I think they're going to need all those guys. And I think the fact that all of them, I would say, are average or above average MLB starters, like, that's huge. So, like, I think they are the best rotation. Like, the Yankees have a bunch of guys too, but, like, three or four of their pitchers, like, combined for, like, you know, barely any innings last year. So, like, they have a lot of question marks. So I think the Dodgers are probably the best, and certainly from a depth standpoint, I like where they're at.
The Dodgers running out there with a 10-man rotation. You pitch once a month. It's Eric Steven with us here on the FNA podcast. Eric, what about Dustin May or Julio Urias being in the bullpen and just being shut down guys late, and maybe one of them becomes the closer?
The closer thing is weird because, I mean, it all kind of depends on how Kenley does, obviously. But I think they sort of built that in with getting Knebel and you know, bringing back Blake Treinen. So I think they're pretty happy with that. But, like, I think if it came down to it, like, especially, like, come playoff time, they would go, I think, to Urias again in certain situations. So I don't know how it's going to play out, but I would imagine they'll be willing to try whatever. So, like, yeah, I get it.
Of course, the sword that's still hanging over the Dodgers' head right now is Justin Turner. And I know Andrew Friedman was asked about that at the press conference yesterday and didn't, I won't say gave him a ringing endorsement, left the door open to a possibility, but it also sounds as if, you know, they pretty much have a set price, and if they don't meet it, they're willing to move on. I guess, how important is it that they bring Justin Turner back? And is that importance heightened because they've lost Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez in free agency?
I think they have to bring him back at this point. Unless they have something in the works where, like, are they going to go trade for, like, Chris Bryant? Are they going to trade for Matt Chapman or whatever? Like, I don't see it. Like, the easiest solution is just signing the extremely popular veteran who's been, like, one of the faces of your franchise the last 7 years. Like, it's the easiest choice in the world. Now, obviously, he probably wants a longer deal than they're willing to give, but I think at some point, like, they can't not sign him, like, and then, you know, not make a backup move. Like, I think they have to do something, and I think it's going to happen. They're waiting until pitchers and catchers report, because they have a couple guys they can put on the 60-day injured list to open up a roster spot. So maybe it's going to happen next week. Who knows? But yeah, I think they absolutely have to sign him at this point. Even if it's a 3-year deal, like, structure it somehow where it lowers the average annual value or whatever. Do whatever you have to do, but I think just get the deal done. Maybe they're just having a staring contest now, but every day that he goes unsigned, like, I still think he's going to end up re-signing with the Dodgers, but, like, every day that he does it, like, you see the Brewers sort of in wait, like, going, oh, we're kind of interested, and then at a certain point, I think you just have to get that deal done. So I think it would be, they would be rightfully criticized if they don't bring him back.
Eric, are the Padres the biggest threat in the NL West to the Dodgers winning the division since the Giants of 2014? How good is this Padres team?
Oh, man, I was about to say they're the only threat, but you were saying historically. Okay, I was like, yeah, there's no other good team in the National League West this year. But, yeah, I think so. Like, I think yeah, that's a good call about the Giants. We forget, too, I forgot what year this was. Was it, oh, man, one of those years, it was either, I guess it was 2016 or 17.
D-backs.
Where the Giants had, like, the best record in the National League at the All-Star break, and then they just tanked after that.
Yeah, 2016. Bad
yeah,
bullpen.
I think that maybe the 2014 Giants, that's pretty good. Actually, 2017 Diamondbacks were actually really good, too. That was the year where the Dodgers won, what, 104 games or whatever, and then they swept them in the playoffs. But, like, that was a really good team, I thought. So it's probably one of those. But, yeah, I think this year's Padres have the potential to be probably, like, they won eight straight divisions. So in the 9 years, this has a chance to be their best sort of competition.
Eric Steven joining us here on the FNA podcast. I don't know was there any updates on Cody Bellinger? I know he had offseason shoulder surgery, and, you know, some are saying that can, even if you're quote-unquote healthy, you can have lingering effects coming into the season. Considering that he struggled last year, how do we think that's going to affect him coming into this year, and how big of a season is it for Cody Bellinger when the Dodgers potentially could be making a decision whether to go with him long-term or Corey Seager long-term?
Yeah, like, I think I'm always leery about that. You know, if you have surgery, I think, I don't remember who it was. I think, Bill Plunkett, I believe, of the Orange County Register, talked to Dave Roberts last week or something. I believe Bellinger's been swinging like one-handed, going through the motions right now. And he's supposed to be ready around the start of spring to, like, be full go. Now, you know, he's going to have, like, an off season where he really couldn't do much. Like, you know, you always hear about he wasn't able to, like, lift, do the normal, like, off season workouts, that kind of thing. I would imagine that's probably taking a toll.
You even lift, bro?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, I think it's reasonable to expect that it's going to be a little rough to, like, adjust or, like, you know, have lingering effects from that, and then everyone next year is going to talk about, well, Bellinger had a normal offseason, now he's going to do better. So in terms of, like, the long-term stuff, I mean, Seager's pressing because he's going to be a free agent. Bellinger's still got two more years after this, so I don't think it's that big of a deal. And also, I don't think it's necessarily a choice of either or. They can re-sign, like, any of those guys if they want, including Buehler, who's also got you know, three more years after this before he's a free agent. So I'm not too worried about that aspect of it. But, you know, who knows? It's just like I'm expecting there to be some lingering effects just because he did have the surgery. But I don't know if it's going to affect him greatly.
Last one for you, Eric. I saw a story from The Athletic report. I believe it was Ken Rosenthal talking about Major League Baseball deadening the baseball this year. And I know it's something that pitchers have talked about for at least the last two or three years that I can remember, that something's funky with the baseballs. They don't feel right. And, of course, we know there's been an uptick, to say the least, in home runs over the last couple of years. First of all, do you put any credence into the fact that baseball juiced all of the balls so that we could have more runs? And because of that, because of the pitchers complaining, because of, I guess, some astrophysicists did some science experiment on it or something, that they're actually going back and deadening the ball to whatever it was prior to the home run surge of the last few years?
I don't think there's any question that that baseball they were using or Major League Baseball was using a juice ball. Like, they baseball has just sort of thrown their hands up the last couple of years, going, "Look, there's variants in the ball. We don't know why it's like this, but I think it was pretty clear. Like, there's been evidence. Dr. Meredith Wills was the astrophysicist you mentioned. Like, she's done a lot of research on it. She's taken apart balls, baseballs from the last few years to like examine them, and they had a study of some of the balls last year that, you know, explained that they kind of were juiced. I think Stephanie Epstein at Sports Illustrated wrote about that. So I think there's no question. I don't know. Nope. Everyone sort of has different ideas of what the effects of, that they're like slightly deadening this year are going to do. So I don't know. I would imagine you're going to see a little bit of a decrease in home runs, but if you look at the last 5 years, it's the five highest home run rates in baseball history. So I think that's like part of it. I'm trying to sort of limit that a little bit. I don't know if it's going to, you know, there's a lot more problems in like baseball in terms of, from the league standpoint of, you know, people striking out, things like that. I don't know if this is going to lessen that, but maybe home runs go down a little bit. But yeah, it'll be something to watch. All the pitchers, or a lot of the pitchers, have been saying this, that the ball was different for a couple of years. So maybe they're going to be a little happier with the new ball. But who knows? I'm interested to see how it plays out.
Take the flubber off the ball. Any truth to you being juiced with your write-ups on SB Nation and True Blue LA? Or
yes, I'm infused with Diet Mountain Dew, and I'd fail any drug test, I think, with all the stuff that's in there. So.
That's the new greenie right there, Diet Mountain Dew. I go the same. That and Diet Cherry Wild Cherry Pepsi. That's how I roll, Eric. But he's at Eric Steven on Twitter with a PH. Eric, a PhD in baseball for sure. Mm-hmm. We appreciate the great analysis today. Thanks for coming back on the FNA podcast.
Always my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right,
delivered
an MTV News
brief. Tell us
stuff at the news high.
Oh, touts the virtues of a machine that automatically smacks a wife or girlfriend into line.
A generation raised on beef.
Now, even though we were going through our trauma, I would never wish death on nobody, you know what I'm saying? Because ain't no coming back from that.
Who shot you?
This is an artist called Eminem. It's spelled funky.
My face is pale, but you look like you've seen
me go. I'm in prison just
for what?
Because he's a white guy.
Bill O'Reilly.
Chris Brown is accused of assault and battery.
I love all the rappers today, but it's hard to defend this shit.
A quickie here today. So we've talked about versus battles in the past when it comes to rap specifically.
Too Short E-40.
Well, there could be another one.
Put that in the Smithsonian.
There could be another one in the mix. Fat Joe, New York rap idol, he did a recent interview, and the subject of LL Cool J came up. And LL Cool J is one of his mentors, one of his favorite rappers.
Are they both from Queens?
Yes.
Yes. I'll do it.
So there's a connection there between the two of them. And he was asked whether or not he would be willing to take on LL Cool J. He says, "He's my idol. I can't do that. He's the reason why I rap. The ideal battle for Fat Joe is 50 Cent." So he threw that one out there.
Okay. I'd like to see that,
flow
too.
Flow for flow, I think Joe would get him, to be honest with you.
At this point, 50's pretty washed.
Just in general, yeah.
Fat Joe has at least lost weight. He's doing things with his life. 50's out there getting curbed by women who won't kiss him on live television.
I can't tell you
the
last
ghosted straight in front of us.
Non-feature that 50 has done. I think he did something with Pop Smoke before he passed away that just came out recently. But other than that, I don't think 50 Cent's really done a lot of music. But he was asked, who would LL Cool J be able to take on in a versus battle? He said, this is what Fat Joe said. And this is not LL talking. He hadn't said a word. LL wants Jay-Z or Drake.
One shall stand, one shall fall.
That's who LL Cool J allegedly wants. You asked me, so I don't want to start no new beefs, but I'm just letting you know right now.
It would have to be a versus battle done on Tidal, or have some Tidal promotion next to it if Jay-Z was going to participate.
If Jay-Z was smart, he would, to get somebody to sign up for that service. Is it still around? Is that still a thing?
there's no way they're still charging $10 more just like, for higher quality streaming.
I couldn't imagine. And then a lot of people who had their like music exclusively on Tidal for a while, no more of that. Remember, it was like Taylor Swift. It was a couple of other people that took all of their music off of every
Beyonce,
platform,
obviously,
except for Tidal. Now they're back on there. I think even Jay-Z took the majority of his albums, except for like I think the Black Album and a couple of others, were still on Spotify. I think they're all back on Spotify now.
That makes sense. So he's giving in.
I think he's giving in a little bit, but it may still be around. But we talked about Jay-Z and who he'd take on, and like I said, it's beneath him to do it. If someone
or he
like,
thinks it's beneath him,
yes,
right?
Yes, he thinks it's beneath him to be able to do it.
And he does.
I think that if LL Cool J stepped to the plate, that'd be pretty special.
He's worthy of the throne.
Absolutely. LL Cool J is one of the best rappers of all time.
He is, and for some reason, because growing up, I equated him with that show where he was the ex-Oakland Raider, or L.A. Raider running back.
One of those sitcoms that came on UPN back in the day.
He was so involved already of...
In the house.
With being... Not Hanging with Mr. Cooper. This was In the House.
That was...
maybe the same channel.
Could have been. I think Hanging with Mr. Cooper was actually TGIF. That was ABC. Rodney's wife worked on that show.
Okay. TGIF. So it had one of those nice-ass intros with the Family Matters jingle, the Full House jingle, the Step-by-Step jingle.
The same guy wrote all those jingles. Literally all those jingles was written by the same person.
And then it was Sabrina the Teenage Bitch.
Hey.
Sorry. I hated that show.
Why?
I thought it was so unfunny compared to those other hilarious shows.
I didn't think it was so bad, but maybe I had a thing from Melissa Joan Hart in my youth, so I don't know, maybe that did it for me.
Clarissa Explains It All. You had Nick at Night or Nickelodeon when she was on there.
Did not have cable, so I couldn't speak to it.
It was the cat.
I was broke, Adam.
That's who I was calling.
Salem the cat. Yes, that was her uncle or something.
It was just so lame. There was some hot aunt though. You know what I'm talking about?
Ants were pretty old, so I don't know of any hot aunts. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, whatever floats your boat. If you at the age of like 11 or whenever that show was out was going for like 45-year-old cougars, then whatever works for you, bro.
The milk's gotten bad.
I ain't gonna hate on you. You do your thing.
No, there was one. I'm telling you, I'm gonna find her.
Maybe she did a cameo.
She's still hot. It was 82. I'm in Rob Parker territory
now.
Yeah,
I guess so.
She's on the Golden Girls cruiser, but for some reason I equated LL Cool J with more mainstream rap that made him seem less real, less one with the streets, because I was watching him on shows all the time.
So people say that and have said that about Ice-T, because he's doing shows where he's a cop. But Ice-T did
a cop killer to being a cop.
I don't know the name of the show that Stone Cold Steve Austin does, but
podcast?
No, it's not his podcast. It's a television show he does. It might be for
WWE
Network, or it could be for, I think it's actually for like country music television. It's a reality show.
That makes
sense. And he interviews celebrities, and he talks about their life and their background and all that. They actually took a ride around the hood with Ice-T and talking about like, yeah, people think I do a cop show and I have no love in the streets. You tell me whether I got love or not. And people in the neighborhood, because he still gives back to the neighborhood, he goes there all the time, he still has a presence. So people can think, I say this about Ice Cube too, that he's a sellout because he's doing Are You There Yet and all that. It's like, I don't think he's a sellout. I just think he evolved. He's 50 years old. He can't be rapping about the stuff he rapped about when he was 18. That's just, you will look ridiculous if you did that.
And I completely understand that. And also, at the end of that interview with Stone Cold, did they smash beers off their heads and drink some Bud Lights?
I missed that part. Okay. I don't think so.
But LL, it was early 90s, and I was already seeing him on TV shows.
Yeah.
And so I knew him more from that than just his music. And that probably warped things for me, and I have a false sense of who he really was as a rapper. But then I watched him on Rap City. That rap he does in the basement where they bring in all the great rappers and they do freestyles.
Right.
He's sitting on the toilet and he does this rap and he implements that in a lyric at one point. It is
S-ing
brilliant.
All you mother effers. That's what it is. Don't think L, just because he's a little older and he was doing all the raps for the ladies back in the day and all that, you know how LL started. He wasn't doing all that. He was as hardcore to the streets as anybody.
Okay.
So he has as deep a catalog. I think he might be the only... Maybe somebody's surpassed him now, but I think he went four straight decades of having platinum albums released. That was a pretty impressive resume.
It's like Tom Brady winning four
pretty much
Super Bowls in four different decades.
Yeah, exactly. So LL versus Jay-Z.
I'm with it.
I'd pay to see that one.
I just, where has Jay-Z been lately? I know everyone's been in lockdown, but he's been like that forever, unless he's at a Brooklyn Nets game. And that, even that seems to be dwindling. His time in the spotlight or out in the open, in the public limelight.
He's one of the busiest people ever. He has all these artists that he does have his own label.
Actually, wasn't he just on a track that came out the other night with somebody? I thought I saw him trending for some reason, and somebody said he's 50 and he can still out rap all these young cats.
Well, that doesn't say much about these young cats. That's for damn sure nowadays. Are you want something too, old man? 949-478-1197 is the number. We have some voicemails to get to. Five of them, it looks like.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We're stacked.
We are.
Hopefully it's not just Andre calling over and over again, because I may have blocked him about five different times over the past week.
Well, we did get two calls from the same number on Thursday, so.
Oh, God.
Why are you mad at me, Adam?
It may be him. But not first. Let's see who we have first. Might get cut off.
Hello, this is Jamie from San Diego.
Come on, Jay.
I'm calling to say, man, you guys sounded weak yesterday talking about Brady, man. They disproved all the haters. They are the expendable. They had Gronk. They had Brady. They had Brown, Fournette, Pierre Paul. They had Dominican Sue. They were the expendables. They went in there and they won, man. So stop hating on Brady and all these other players. This was like a second chance team. I'm not even a fan of Brady's, but turned me into a fan yesterday on Sunday. So stop hating on him. Adding on to Tori's comment about Brooks and Johnson, Brooks, that was a big win for him winning Waste Management. That was his first win on the PGA Tour. And he usually doesn't win on tour. He's more of a major winner. He won in the PGA. He had a run at winning at the PGA Championship 2018, 2019, also the U.S. Open 2017, 2018. And Johnson has way more wins on the regular tour, but lacks in the majors. However, the Masters is going to be very interesting because Johnson holds a green jacket. So if Brooks wins, that means Johnson has to put the green jacket on. Johnson has to put the green jacket on Brooks. So Big Johnson's gonna have to make amends, and looks like a champion if Brooks wins. So, anyways, just letting you guys know that the Masters is gonna be a big one this year, especially the way Brooks is playing after surgery in the off season. Anyways, guys, love the show. FNA.
Not to mention the matchup between their wives and fiancés.
Hello, what have we here?
Are they going to have a one-on-one golf matchup, too?
Talk about some trophies.
Would you pay pay-per-view to see that? we look forward
your
to
Tom
Dustin
Brady
and Brooks going
comment.
Do we hate on Brady the other day?
Yes.
I feel the conflict within
well,
you.
I
let
do.
Go of your hate.
I said he played a good game, but I don't believe he was the reason why they won. It was their defense. And I gave credit to their defense. I said Todd Bowles should be the MVP of the game.
I like how he listed all the good players that are on Tom Brady's team, and then the expendables or somehow it's I get that a little bit. Antonio Brown, obviously they brought him in. He was out of the league. Rob Gronkowski was out of the league.
He retired.
They weren't out of the league because they lost talent or they couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Gronk retired because he didn't want to be traded to Detroit. He said that explicitly the other day. Antonio Brown couldn't get out of his own way for a few years.
Idiot.
That was his issue. Jason Pierre-Paul blew up his hand. And Shaq Barrett was an undrafted guy that worked his way up and parlayed it into what's likely going to be a big-time contract this offseason.
And boom goes the dynamite.
So, I mean, are they
the
expendables to a degree?
A stacked team won
the
Super Bowl
yeah.
with Tom Brady. Way to go. That's hate.
I mean, yeah.
Don't give in to hate.
Credit to the general manager for finding Devin White in the draft last year was amazing. He turned out to be a great player. Levante David was a free agent pickup that they brought in who was really good.
I don't know
if they have a superstar defense, but they had good enough players and took advantage of a Kansas City weakness on the offensive line.
Yeah. They came together at the right time. Yeah. I'll give Tom Brady this. It looked like he implemented some culture there that was maybe missing. Last couple of years, it wasn't all just talent. There is something to having Tom Brady on your team. There's an intangible there,
no doubt.
Like cheating.
Next caller.
Hey guys, it's the Union here, and I am calling in today. Well, unlike some people who call in to the Talk S hotline, I make sure to do it from my pro studio. so that way my audio is crystal clear and every word can be heard, because I care about the betterment of the FNA show. But anyway, that's not why I'm calling in today. I just have one thing that I want to say about the FNA show. And that one thing is... Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Was that a remix of Bree's call from last week where she pocket dialed us, or it sounded like that?
With Forrest Gump at the end? Is that what that was? Yes.
That's Ryan from the PMS Union.
Ryan referring to Bree, which I think they, I don't know if they got into it, quote unquote, but had an exchange on Twitter the other day about Bree's issues.
Shots fired?
Bree's issues. Kind of. Well, she left that voicemail last week, and she said she didn't have her headset plugged in until the very end.
So that was him mocking her, possibly?
Essentially.
That's all I can deduce from that.
Pretty much.
Great call either way.
Yeah,
there was a lot going on there.
There was.
That felt like the video in The Ring with that just like runs by with all these little clips all of a sudden and the fly on the screen. I don't know if that means 7 days.
It could be.
But it was weird, but interesting. Hey, there's a mystery here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Damn straight.
It's like the Cecil Hotel.
Next call.
Yeah, you guys probably will talk about the Bauer thing today, because you guys said you're going to push it back, and because of Super Bowl this past weekend.
Damn it, he knew.
Today was a press conference. I'm scrolling through Twitter, and apparently, I remember when he was with Cleveland Bauer, and these instances with females, I don't know if they're freaking reporters or something. But I do remember how they started. And I guess everybody, I know you guys, I don't know about you, you guys don't like Molly Knight because of that whole her versus Victor Brick and the whole Puig thing.
F-ing right here.
But what's the limit, like when you're like trying to clap back and you're talking shit, someone's talking shit to you and you clap back and you go too far, women like Molly Knight start saying you're harassing these women. Like, it's not harassment. It's like, don't go too far, sure, but don't start shit if you can't handle it. Like, that's how what I learned from Michael Rapaport. You don't want to start shit with him because he's going to fucking come at you hard. What do you guys think the line is? Later.
I don't start ass, I finish it.
I mean, I guess it depends.
I have no idea.
It also depends.
I'm not going off of anything Andre 3000's preaching.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like it depends on what your definition of starting shit is. If a reporter has an opinion or a hot take about Trevor Bauer or his performance or something, and he in turn responds with something they deem to be personal or unprofessional, I can see why somebody would interpret that as being crossing the line.
Yeah.
I remember vaguely the situation with him and the teenage girl a couple of years ago.
See, I have no idea.
I don't remember exactly what precipitated it. She said something about him, and he just went off and just kept on going and kept on going to a point where, I don't know if she called the cops or she called Twitter security or somebody.
At some point,
about
you're
being harassed.
Punching down.
Yeah.
You're looking like the bad guy, even if you aren't doing anything that's overtly sexist.
Right.
But, and I'm not saying that's what he did at all. I have no idea what that conversation was like. But in general, online, you know, there is a law of diminishing returns there where you're taking things too far. When do people ever see your side anyways?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, on a message board or on Twitter or on Facebook, anywhere.
It's
hard to find common ground nowadays.
If you want to be super active on Twitter and all that, do your thing. Put out your funny quips, and at that point, just let it go. Don't read the comments. Don't respond to every tweet that comes your direction.
I don't like sicking all your followers on someone.
Exactly.
Unless it's Andre, and I at TK Trinidad on some thirsty-ass tweet he sent to me that night, or I at the FNA show and then retweet it from that account so more people see it.
Yeah.
But that's totally different because... Yeah. We're playing by the same rules.
Yeah. I mean, for me,
we're in the game together.
If you're a celebrity or reach that level of notoriety, people are looking at trying to get a rise out of you to begin with. So
yeah,
why would
you're a target?
Why would you throw fuel to the fire?
Don't
if they say what they want to say, just ignore them. and let it keep on rolling. That's the best way you can do it. There's power in silence, Trevor. Something tells me he doesn't agree with me, though. Next caller.
I just want to add one more thing to my call.
Of course, yeah,
I read comparing what Porter from the who got the Mets job and Callaway, and sending dick pics to reporters and compared to what Trevor Bauer did. Just fucking stop. That's not even, in the words of Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction, it's not even the same fucking ballpark. Just stop with that shit, man.
I don't know the situation, if there was a false equivalency. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, I didn't read Molly Knight's. I saw that she wrote a piece in The Athletic about Trevor Bauer being signed, but I don't know what comparison she drew.
I'll tell you what is a false equivalency. When she compared getting a concussion in high school basketball to Patrick Mahomes and the look he had on his face in the playoffs when he got hit hard. She could relate to it all because she played high school basketball. It's nothing to do with her being a girl. Any dude saying the same thing. I played high school basketball and I took a hit once, or I played even high school football. It's not the same. It's not.
Unless you play football or rugby, it ain't the same. Trust me.
I don't know why you would inject yourself into that conversation at all.
I did not. Did she tweet that?
I sympathize with Patrick Mahomes. PMS, we're talking about it, so it was on my mind.
Last call.
What's up, SMA? This is Lewis from West Covina. My bad. I should have called a long time ago when I heard this story, right before you got D-Mag in for an interview. But the state of Oklahoma has legalized the hunting of Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. They also have a $50,000 reward if you bring them in, not killed, unharmed, but the capture of Bigfoot. Maybe next time you have him on, you can ask him a question about that. Maybe he'll head out to Oklahoma and grab himself Bigfoot. That's all for today. Hope you guys have a great day. Go Browns.
Has Mexico made it legal to kill the chupacabra too?
I've not read that. I did see that story. We actually did that on Jonas Knox's show a few weeks ago. The fact that a mayor in Oklahoma, to bring more money and tourism to their particular town, has legalized the hunt for Bigfoot.
When was it illegal to hunt for Bigfoot?
I have no idea. But they've made a giant
thing
out of it.
I'm hunting for the Mothman right now.
They've added a pot to it, So what is the name of the goat? The goat that lives under the bridge? Remember that story?
The goat?
There's some sort of man-goat hybrid thing that lives under a bridge somewhere. That's another
the old SNL
cryptozoology thing. I don't know about that one.
I started to think of this goat.
Hi, what's the good word there?
The Adam Sandler skit.
Nah,
good boy.
Yeah, if you want to take your time and resources to go down to Oklahoma and hunt for Bigfoot, by all means, but I won't be going with you.
$50,000. Can't they up the reward to like $2 million? What are they worried about? Up it to $50 billion. Who cares?
Yeah, why not?
You're going to kill some guy in a Bigfoot costume, and then they're going to unmask him like it's...
Well, you can't kill him. You have to you have to capture him alive. That's part of the the reward. You cannot kill him.
Put him in a cage.
Exactly. Cage him up. And before we sign off, I do see that the Dodgers made a trade. They send Adam Kolarik to Oakland for a couple of young guys. I don't know if that's a salary-saving move or what, but Kolarik, their lefty specialist, who are now being diminished more and more considering the three-batter rule, maybe they figure they get some young value for him, so he's now out.
Urias back in the pen. They need another lefty.
It's possible. We'll see. Thanks to Eric Steven, speaking of the Dodgers, from SB Nation, joining us here on the show. Always brings that good information. We appreciate him, and we appreciate you. Thank you guys for calling in. If you guys want to leave a voicemail, 949-478-1197 is the number.
Does Lewis have a shirt? Is that Big Lou on Twitter?
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so.
So he probably does that.
Yes.
I met him in a Clippers game once.
Okay, nice. Nice. If you want to get a shirt, call, leave us a voicemail, and we'll send you an FNA t-shirt.
Win that shirt.
K.O. Congrats, bud.
That's right. Hit us up on Twitter.
We did talk about Ultimate Gay Fighter.
We did.
On Monday's show.
That's right.
On Monday, we did a celebration for the anniversary of Street Fighter 2, and also recap the Super Bowl if you missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go back and check that out. All of our shows, Barry McConaughey before the Super Bowl, you can check that out. That was an excellent interview as well. Just search FNA in the iHeartRadio app, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes as well. Hit us up on Twitter at KFig1. Also at follow Adam A. That is where Adam is. I am at KFig1. We are at FNA Show. You guys have a good weekend. Yeah. Until next week. for Adam. I'm Kevin. This has been another edition of the FNA Podcast. Take care.
I'm here live. I'm not a cat.